Genesis chapter 1. Now you've noticed I've asked our young people, the two older of our classes, to be in our class this morning. Now I know that y'all would rather be in your class each week, but I want you to come out here this morning. You don't realize how much you're on my heart every single day, and especially this week, as I thought about preparing a lesson on creation. You older folks, I want you to listen too, but our young people have been especially on my heart this week, because you're growing up in a world where the story of God creating the heaven and the earth is under such attack. People just try to do everything they can to deny the fact that this story of creation that we'll read from God's Word. And I'll tell you why they're doing it. Well, the prophets, it must be important for us to understand God created heaven and the earth, because the prophets frequently refer to God as the creator. And the reason they do that is because whoever created everything's God. Isn't that right? Whoever created everything, now that's God. And this is why people today push this theory of evolution. If they can prove God didn't create everything, then everything that happened after Genesis 1 isn't true either, right? If they can prove that God does not exist, that God's not the creator, then they don't have to answer to God. They don't have to answer to God's law. They don't have to bow to Christ. They won't have to face God in judgment. And one of the reasons that I love this story of creation, it reminds me God's in control. Now, there's nothing outside of God's control. He is all-powerful. Everything's all right. It's right on God's schedule that He has purposed from all of eternity. And this is what I want us to see this morning. God did create heaven and earth. God does rule in heaven and earth. And here's why God created heaven and earth. God created heaven and earth for the glory of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. God created man and put man on His earth so that Christ would get glory in saving them from their sin. Now, here's another reason that people don't want to admit God created heaven and earth, and why they push this theory of evolution, is because they don't want to admit they need to be born again. If man started out on the bottom, if he started out in this primordial ooze and he's been working his way up ever since, well, man doesn't need to be born again, because eventually we'll get there. But if man started out on the top and he fell all the way to the bottom, he fell all the way into sin and death, then it's obvious we must be born again. Here's another reason I love the story of creation. God, who created heaven and earth, has got the power to do for me what I must have. He's got the power to cause me to be born again. He's got the power to create a new heart in me. And that's what I want us to see this morning. So let's begin in verse 1, Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now the Bible begins with God, because everything begins with God. Now God wasn't created. God's eternal. There's never been a time that God hasn't been. He's always been. God doesn't have a beginning like we do. And the Bible, you notice this, never tries to prove that God exists. It's just obvious. It's just a given that we're to believe God is. The theory of evolution has got to be proved. I mean, volumes of books written trying to prove the theory of evolution. The Bible never wastes a word trying to prove God is. He just is. That's just obvious to anybody. And there was a time there was nothing but God. You think about it, there was no earth, there was no sun, no moon, no stars, no angels, only God. And one day, I can't even say a day, a moment, I don't know how to say that, because God doesn't dwell in time, but there was a time God created the heavens and the earth. There was a day God put this ball in space, earth, that we dwell. There was a day God, that ball wasn't there, and suddenly it was. God put it there, put it right where it belongs. That's Genesis 1:1. This is the time we also believe that angels were created. Now, verse 2. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now something has happened. Between verse 1 and verse 2 of Genesis 1, something happened. God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth became. That word was there is became. The earth became without form. It became void. It became full of darkness. It was without form. That word means worthless or a place of confusion. God's creation became worthless and a place of confusion. That word vain is empty. God's creation became empty. And darkness doesn't just mean there was no light. It means that God's creation became a place of misery and destruction. It became a place of death and ignorance. Now, God's creation became filled with these things. Well, God didn't create anything that way. God didn't create anything that was without form and void and darkness. God is light. Well, what happened? What happened between verse 1 and 2? Well, look over in Isaiah chapter 14. This is when we believe that Satan fell. This is when we believe that Satan was cast from heaven and cast to earth. Lucifer, one of the angels that was created, was one of the chief angels. He was the son of morning. And that wasn't good enough for Lucifer. One day he said, I'm going to be God. And look what happened, Isaiah 14 and verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which did weaken the nations? Why was he cast down? Why did he weaken God's creation? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that did rule the earth, that made the earth to tremble and did shake the kingdoms? How did he shake the kingdoms? How did he make the earth to tremble? When he was cast out of heaven and came to earth. Our Lord said in Luke chapter 10 that he beheld Satan fall from heaven as lightning. And when he struck the earth was destroyed. When Satan came to earth, the earth became without form and void and full of darkness. Now, this is just in the for what it's worth category. It seems like there was a time that dinosaurs lived and those kinds of things. Well, that they lived between verse 1 and verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1. But when Satan was cast to earth, everything was killed. The earth became without form and void. Now, who knows how much time passed between verse 1 and verse 2? We have no way of knowing how much time passed. There's no time to God. It didn't matter to God, but probably it was a lot of time, by the way we count time, between verse 1 and verse 2. You know, the earth itself, the ball, earth, it may be millions of years old. God may have created that ball in verse 1, and but when it became without form and void, that may have been millions of years on. Who knows? But people who believe evolution, they say, well, the story of creation can't be true because the earth is older than 6,000 years. The rocks and the minerals and things on earth, they're older than 6,000 years. So the Bible story can't be true. Well, the earth very well may be millions of years old. But man's time on earth, from the time God created man, that's just been 6,000 years. So just because, you know, rocks and things, somebody might think they're older than 6,000 years, in no way makes God's story of creation not true. That God's first creation became without form. It became void. It became full of darkness. Well, look at verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God called the light and saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And evening and the morning were the first day. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Who said this? Let there be light. Well, that was our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ spoke and said, he is the Word of God. He said, let there be light. Colossians 1, verse 15. It's speaking of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. He's the one that spoke these things into existence. By him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Christ is the one that said, let there be light. Well, what is this light? It's not the sun. Well, see, this sun wasn't created till the fourth day. So what's this light? Look at John chapter 1. This light is Christ. Christ appeared in God's creation. John 1. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. That's Christ. He's the Word of God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Christ spoke the light into existence, and he is the light. And when God burns up this creation, and he makes new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, you can read this afternoon if you want in Revelation 21. There's not going to be a sun. Because Christ will be the light of it. He's the light of creation. And the very moment Christ the light appeared, what happened? Division. The moment Christ appeared, there was division. The light and the darkness must be divided. The light and the darkness can't be in the same place at the same time. Holiness and righteousness must always be divided from sin and iniquity. But in heaven, in the second creation, when God makes everything new, there won't be any night. There'll be no more division there, only union and unity with Christ. And God saw that the light was good. You know why he saw it was good? Because he saw his Son, who is good. Now, we'll come back to that in just a few minutes, but that was the first day, the first 24-hour period. God did all the work of creation in six 24-hour days. Well, look at verse 6, the second day. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Now look over at Psalm chapter 8. The firmament, that's the sky, the atmosphere above the earth, and then there's the second heavens, the outer space. And God created all that massive space that we can't even measure. He just spread it out with his fingers. That's how great God is. He just spread that out with his fingers, just as easy as we open and shut the drapes. Look at Psalm 8, verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers. This didn't take God's hands and arms. This space, we can't even measure. That's just the work of God's fingers. The moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? This creation of the firmament, the skies, this was the work of God's fingers. And it was so. God said, let it appear, and it was so. Now look back at verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Now notice, every time God says, let something be, It was so. It always happened just the way God said for it to happen. That's the power of God. Let something be, and it's so. And every time God saw something that he'd done, God saw that it was good. That's the goodness of God, both the power and goodness of God. Now here on the third day, the whole earth, the whole globe was covered with water. And God said, water, go back. And it went back. And God said, stay right there. And it has forever stayed right there. Other than the time of the flood, Noah's flood, that water stayed right exactly where God told it for 6,000 years. That's where it's been. Because God said, stay right there. And the earth has been there, the dry land has been there ever since, by God's commandment. And once the dry land appeared, God said, let all the plants be. Just suddenly, there's grass, and there's herbs, and there's vegetables, and there's fruit trees. Just all of them were suddenly there, because God said, let them be. And there they were. It was so. Now, God didn't take things that were already there and make the plants and make the trees. That's making something. That's like Cecil, when he made these banisters, he took stuff that was already there and put it all together and made that. That's not the way God made the earth. There was nothing, just nothing but thin air. And God said, let it be. And suddenly there it was. That's the power. He created those things out of nothing. God spoke, and the sun appeared, and the moon appeared, and the plants appeared, just all the animals, because God just spoke them into existence. And we see an important phrase here in this third day, whose seed is in itself. Those trees producing more fruit trees after their kind, after his kind. A tomato plant will never produce anything but a tomato plant. You get tomato seeds, you'll never get a broccoli plant. It'll always be a tomato whose seed is in itself. An apple tree will only ever produce an apple tree. You'll never take seeds from an apple tree and get an orange tree, ever, because its seed is in itself. A sugar cane, you plant that and you're only going to get another sugar cane stalk. You'll never get oregano or some other kind of herb. And I'll show you why that's so important in a minute, whose seed is in itself. Now, verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night. Here's the sun. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now here it's the fourth day. There's been light since the first day, hadn't there? It's not to the fourth day. God put the sun in space. He creates the sun and the moon. Now, I just love to imagine this. The fingers of God making the sun. And putting it right there in an exact spot. And there it stayed. He put it in an exact spot that is the exact distance from the earth that will warm the earth and give us light and warmth. Won't burn us up. Not too close to burn. If it was almost any closer. John Keel, if you care to read that, he's got this big calculation of the earth is just this much closer to the sun. You know, we'll all burn up. If it's just hairs difference, you know, away, we'd all freeze to death. Why is that? God in his wisdom and his goodness put it right there. And he did it with just his fingers. There it is, you know. And he put the moon right where it is, circling the earth. It's astounding. God put those things with his fingers. And all those stars, God put them right there, just with his fingers. They're not spread randomly. God put them all right where they are, just exactly where they are. And they've been there ever since. It's wisdom of God. And scripture says the sun and the moon rule the earth. Now, all the writers talk about, making sure you don't think you're supposed to worship the sun and the moon. I don't think anybody here has that issue. But they rule the earth in this way. The sun determines the days, the length of days, the heat of the days. It determines the different seasons, depending on how the earth, I don't understand how all that works. Some of y'all do. The Earth's rotation and whatever, you know, tilting, whatever. But the sun determines our days, the length of the days and the seasons. The moon determines the ocean tides. It seems like the moon even affects people. So, you know, the moon gets full, people get crazy. It's somehow, you know, seems to be affecting what's going on here on Earth. And God put the sun and the moon right where they are to continually replenish and do things for Earth, give us changes in seasons and different things that we need so the Earth thrives. That's because of the wisdom of God. Now look at verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly, and the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth, and the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Here on the fifth day, God created every kind of fish that there is. There's not ever been a new kind of fish since this day. God created them all, from minnows to whales. God created them all. Scripture said God created the whale to play in the seas. That's God's creation. He created catfish and perch and cod and muskie, all the different kinds of fish. And he told them, fill the sea. And buddy, they did. I mean, the sea's still full of fish. But I want you to notice God's wisdom in creation. God is a God of order. This is why I know God didn't create anything that was without form and void. God's a God of order. First, God created the dry land, didn't he? Then he created the birds. He didn't create the birds first. Then the birds wouldn't have a place to land. You know, they would have crashed in the sea and died or something. God's a God of order. He prepared everything. First, he prepared the dry land and the grass and the things, you know, the birds might eat. And then he created the birds. That's God's wisdom. God's a God of order. And everything brought forth after his kind. The fish brought forth after their kind because the seed is in himself. A bass brought forth a bass. A whale brought forth a whale. A reptile brought forth a reptile. A reptile never brought forth a rat. A reptile never gave birth to a rat, and the reptile never gave birth to anything turned into another animal. They always brought forth after their kind. Fish brought forth more fish, just like the kind of fish they were. Birds brought forth the same kind of bird that they were. This is the way God ordained it. Nothing changed. Nothing evolved into something different. Everything is what God created it. It brought forth after his kind. Now, verse 24. God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now here God created all the animals. He created every different species of animals that are on the face of the planet today. From ants to elephants, God created them all. And they all brought forth after their kind. They didn't change into something else. A horse never one time gave birth to a giraffe. A horse always brings forth another horse because his seed is in himself. And I want you to think how great God is. I mean, you know, if I were creating the animals, there'd be about two or three kinds of fish, you know. That's all I would make, you know. It'd be the kinds I like to eat, probably. There'd just be a couple different kinds of birds, you know. There'd only be two or three kinds of animals. And if I were creating the animals, almost all of them would be cows because I like to eat beef. So that's the way I make a few chickens and a few pigs, you know, if you got to eat that kind of thing. And maybe a couple horses to help the farm. But that's all I'd make because that's all my mind has the capacity to think about. Not God. God made thousands and thousands of different species of animals. And every one of them is different. Every one of them is unique. And they're not unique just because God's going to make something different. They all do something good for the earth. They all do something, even insects do something different, do something that's good for the earth. Not one of them ever evolved into something. Now that's just the foolishness of man to think That's foolish. This kind of creation takes the wisdom and the greatness of God. Just, I love this story of creation that God just spoke, and all these different species and just such intricate detail just came into being. Now look at verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth." All they're going to eat, they're not going to eat animals, they're not going to eat meat, they're going to just eat plants. "I've given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it should be for meat. And every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there's life, I've given every green herb for meat." And it was so. See, even the animals, they just ate plants. Even lions, you know, they weren't carnivores at this time. Everything just ate plants. Now, you'll notice on the other 5 days of creation, God said, "Let something be. Let something appear." And it was so. But here, when it came to making man, Scripture says God created man. God formed Adam's body from the dust of the ground. And he said, "Let us make man in our own image." Well, now only God exists. So who's God talking to here? "Let us make man in our own image." Well, he's talking to the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were together in this matter of creation, because they always are together. And he said, "Let us make man in our image." Now, how does man bear the image of God? Well, I thought of 3 reasons. First, God is spirit. God doesn't have a body. You know, we talk about the Scripture does. You know, it talks about the fingers of God, the eyes of God. Well, God doesn't have a body. God is spirit. Well, you know, so is man. Now, we have a body, but we are a spirit. When this body dies, a spirit continues to live. We are a spirit, but we have a body. I'll show you that in chapter 2. Look at verse 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." The animals didn't become alive like that. Animals don't have a soul. Man was created this way in the image of God because he's got a spirit. He is a spirit. Second, man was given a body, but that body's upright. Like God is upright. You know, we're not walking around all fours like a dog. You know, we're not walking all hunched over like an ape. A man is upright because God is upright. And the Father knew the body that he would prepare for his Son. He gave Adam a body like that body. Upright. And third, man is made in the image of God in this way. Man was given dominion over things. Man was given dominion over the animals, over the fish, over the birds, over the seas, over the creation. Man had dominion. Animals didn't have any dominion over anything. They were just animals. But man was given dominion. God brought all the animals to Adam to name because he had dominion over them. You know why we call a horse a horse? Because when God brought a horse to Adam, Adam said, "That's a horse." And we call it a horse to this day. Adam had dominion in that way. Similar, it's not the same dominion, but it's similar. It's a picture of how God has dominion over all things. And Adam was brilliant. I mean, God didn't create somebody that brain didn't work right. God created a man who's brilliant. The picture of the wisdom of God. It's different from all the other animals. God didn't make an animal that way, just man. Now, in 6 24-hour periods, God created everything. Now, on the 7th day, God rested. And he didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because the work was finished. There's nothing else to do. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day, and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And that's why the Jews, under the law, rested on Saturday. They rested, they observed the Sabbath and rested on the seventh day, because it was on the seventh day God rested from his work, because it was finished. And God looked at everything he made. Look at verse 31. God saw everything he'd made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. It was very good. Now notice God didn't say it's perfect, did he? He says very good. Creation wasn't perfect because there was still opportunity for man to fall. In chapter 2, God's going to give man a law. Just one, but now it's a law. There's opportunity for Adam to disobey that law. There's opportunity for him to fall. The creation wasn't perfect because Satan was already here. So it's not perfect, but it was very good. Now, at Ruby Thompson's memorial service, Dan Culver made an astounding statement. I told him afterwards, I'm going to use that. That's good. I'll give you credit when I do. So don't give me credit. I probably read it somewhere. But I never heard anywhere else. I'm giving Dan the credit for this. This is what he said. God said the creation is very good. He didn't say it was precious, did he? What does God call the death of his saints? God says it's precious. Now, we know what's going to happen. We'll look at this in the message this morning. Man's going to fall into sin, into death. How can the death of a son of Adam ever be precious in God's sight? The new birth. Creation gives us a picture of the new birth in Christ. Genesis 1 is given to tell us God created the heaven and the earth. But always remember this about the Bible. The Bible is not a history book. You know, the reason the Bible doesn't answer every question about creation is the Bible, or creation or evolution or anything like that, because the Bible is not a history book. The Bible is not a science book. The Bible is written of Christ. And Genesis 1 is like all the rest of the Bible. It's written to show us Christ. Our Lord said, Moses wrote of me. When Moses sat down to write Genesis 1, he was writing primarily of Christ. And we have a picture of the new birth. And the new birth is like creation in several ways. First, they both start with God, don't they? None of creation ever would have happened if God didn't say, let there be light. It had to start with God. And the new birth always starts with God. Only God had the power to create this planet, and only God has the power to create a new man in the hearts of his people. Second, the new birth and creation, they both start with Christ. Now, man was created upright, and we'll see this in chapter 3, but man fell. He fell all the way to the bottom in sin and death. And when Adam sinned, all men sinned in Adam. When Adam sinned, we all became without form. We all became worthless. Our souls became a place of confusion. When Adam fell, every one of us, we became vain. We became empty. Empty of anything good, of any righteousness at all. And when Adam fell, our souls were covered with darkness. Spiritual darkness, where there's no light, just our soul is a place that's full of misery and destruction and death and ignorance because we fell when Adam fell. But God Almighty comes to his people and says, let there be light. Let my Son appear in their heart. Christ came to this earth as a man. He just suddenly appeared because God said, let there be light. Everybody didn't see him. Simeon saw him, didn't he? Oh, this is the one. This is God's salvation. And God sends his Spirit to each one of his people and says, let there be light. And suddenly, Christ is formed in the heart. And we only see because Christ the light is formed in our heart. Everybody sees the Son, the S-U-N. But not everybody sees Christ the Son, do they? The S-O-N. Well, why do we see Christ? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Why do God's people always see Christ? Because God said, let there be light. That's why he sends his son to the hearts of his people. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We see because God commanded the light to shine in the darkness of our soul. And then what happened on the first day? The first day, God said, let there be light. And Christ appeared, didn't he? First day of the week, that was the first day of the week, Sunday. Well, you remember after our Savior was crucified, the disciples were in such a time of darkness and doubt and despair. But on Sunday, the first day of the week, Christ arose. That stone rolled away and Christ appeared. He'd risen again for the justification of his people. I know I've gone too long, but I got two of the classes out, so it doesn't matter as much if I go over today. Tara and Eric aren't going to be too upset with me. Remember I told you about this phrase, his seed is in itself. Each one brought forth after his kind. Well, fallen man has a seed in himself. It's a corrupt seed. It's a sinful seed. And we can only produce, we can only give birth to more sinful men. We're just going to give birth to people just like us, sinners, depraved, and fallen. Well, if we're going to be saved, if we're going to be holy and righteous, if God's going to accept us, he's going to have to make us something different, isn't he? He has to. Well, we can't be changed into something different. God can't just take this flesh and make it into something different because the flesh can only ever be flesh. Our flesh can never be made to be something better. It's seed. It's in itself. It's corrupt. If God's going to accept us, if we're going to be righteous and holy, God's going to have to make a new creature. And that is exactly what he does in the new birth. He makes a new creature that never existed before. And he's made from different seed. What seed does God use to give the new birth? It's his word. Peter says it's the incorruptible seed, the perfect seed, the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ gives the new birth to his people. And when we're born, we're not born like our father Adam. We're born like our heavenly father with his nature, with all his characteristics. And when God's finished with his new creation, he looks at his people and he says, it's very good. It's very good. This creation's perfect. You know why he says it's very good? Because when he sees his people, you know who he sees? He sees his son. The perfection of his son. He sees us in Christ and Christ formed in us. And that creation is a whole lot better than the first creation. That creation is perfect. Perfect. All right. Well, I hope you don't mind me going a few minutes too long. I thought it was a blessing to you.